Are you ready?
Coming at you! Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio. This is The Bump, our first non-MMA related podcast. I'm your host, DJ Tony, along with me, my old broadcast partner and cousin, Mr. G. Mr. G and I have had podcasts before, and we always wanted to do this pro wrestling podcast. I think now it's probably the closest connection we're ever going to get with CM Punk now being in MMA, the UFC, and possibly making a second fight. Brock Lesnar going back and forth between the WWE and the UFC, and now Ronda Rousey. Welcome to Amp Radio, Mr. G.
DJ Tony, thank you for having me. As you alluded to, we've been talking about doing this podcast for some years now, actually. We wanted to do this even before you started the MMA podcast. As none of you know, DJ Tony and I, we had our own podcast a few years ago, which we discussed the Golden State Warriors and NBA basketball in general. Probably 2011, 2012, would you say, is when we were doing those podcasts, Tony?
Yeah, we were well ahead of our time. Too bad we didn't keep it up, actually, with Infuse, our NBA podcast. You would have been quite a few number of years into it, Mr. G.
I was just thinking about it. I remember one of our episodes, we did a season prediction of what we thought the Warriors would do that season, how many wins. I kind of went with a bold, optimistic 36 wins for the season. Just to think a few short seasons later, the Warriors would win more than double that amount of wins in a single season. Incredible stuff, right?
I think in the spirit of full disclosure, you've always been very optimistic about the Warriors. And like, you're born and raised in San Francisco, being that we're San Francisco residents, the fact that we've suffered through all the years of Bay Area sports talk, etc., I think one tends to be a little pessimistic versus optimistic. So I think you were ahead of the curve on that one.
Yeah, definitely. I might have been a little bit ahead of the curve there. But look, we're not here today to talk about the NBA. We're here to talk about pro wrestling. WrestleMania 34 this weekend. For those of you that don't know, WrestleMania is the Super Bowl of pro wrestling. It's the biggest pay-per-view of the year. It's the most star-studded event. There's a lot of special guests, typically. It's the granddaddy of them all, to quote Vince McMahon. And that's this Sunday. But as you also mentioned, there's a lot going on between MMA and wrestling at this moment. You have Brock Lesnar, who is currently one of the champions, who is currently under contract with WWE, but his contract expires shortly. There's a lot of speculation about whether or not he will still be around or whether he's going to go back to UFC. Obviously, it's not going to be that simple of a jump. There's some protocols that he has to go through. I think you could probably enlighten me a little bit more on it, but I believe he still has about 6 months left on his suspension before he could be reinstated. And he would also need the permission of WWE to actually go to UFC before August of this year. But the big news is Ronda Rousey. This is going to be her in-ring debut in professional wrestling. When was the last time Ronda performed in the octagon, DJ?
It's been quite some time. I actually can look it up. Obviously, she was undefeated for many years, took two back-to-back losses, Mr. G, which didn't really go well. A public perception, and of course, what we've seen lately in her interviews hasn't really gone well, hasn't taken losses particularly well. She did lose in 2015, notoriously, to Holly Holm, where she got KO'd via head kick, then lost in December of 2016, December 30th, to be exact, to Amanda Nunes, current champ, via TKO in seconds, 48 seconds into the first. So, notoriously, two straight losses, went dark for quite a bit, now shows up in pro wrestling. Let's go. Let's get into it right away, Mr. G. Let's talk Ronda Rousey. Did you by any chance see any of the interviews that she did during the whole ESPN car wash, et cetera?
You know, I've watched some of her work, but only on WWE programming. And this isn't, although her... How should I explain this? although she made her quote-unquote debut in pro wrestling, not in-ring, but just appearance-wise, at the Royal Rumble early this year in January, this storyline's actually been building for a few years. She made a special appearance at WrestleMania 31 in 2015, and it seems like WWE's been wanting to sign her since then, but I believe at the time she was under UFC contract, and I believe between that point and now, she might have been doing some things on the big screen, on TV. So she wasn't necessarily available until recently to sign with the WWE, but she made an appearance at WrestleMania 31, and this is now the evolution of that storyline. You know, everyone says, well, wrestling's fake, right? If you ask a lot of MMA fans, I would assume most of them would say, well, pro wrestling's fake, right? But to get in the ring, you could still potentially get hurt. It's staged, but falling on your back from 8 feet in the air is going to hurt no matter what, right? No matter how protected, you know, you are. Taking a bump, hitting the mat, it hurts. Running to the ropes, it hurts. And that's just one aspect of being a pro wrestler. I would argue that probably the bigger element of being a pro wrestler is character development, how you could cut a promo, what your mic skills are, how you could allow the crowd to believe your story, to believe you're a good guy, a bad guy. And that's where I think Ronda probably needs a lot of work. I think that in ring, she might be okay. She might be a little stiff, you know, she might be a little too mechanical, whereas with pro wrestling, it's much more fluid movements. But I think on the mic and her character development, that's where she really needs a lot of work. Now, this Sunday, that all goes out the window as the second she, you know, walks into that ring and she's an opponent right across from her. But it'll be interesting to see where they go from this match, whether, you know, she wins, whether she loses. I would imagine, well, let's explain the match, right? So do you want to explain to the audience this match this Sunday with Ronda?
You were live at a WrestleMania event. You're one of your first WrestleMania events that you attended in Santa Clara. You saw her do a little bit of work. I don't know if actually that was physical work or that was all mic work, like you've mentioned. But you've seen her. I'm not a pro wrestling fan. I haven't been for quite some time. I don't watch it. You've actually. So I haven't seen her work. I did see her get placed through a table recently. Saw that on YouTube, and I think it was Stephanie McMahon putting her through a table. Let's talk about her work before we get into the match. How has her work been?
Well, you know, her physical in-ring performance is pretty limited. I believe at the WrestleMania event I was at a few years ago, she put her opponent, Stephanie McMahon, in an arm lock, and, you know, that didn't last long. But, yeah, we've just seen a little bit of back and forth in the last month or so. Where Ronda's, you know, either taken a slap or has been put through a table. Again, very mechanical appearing, you know, and it's like she's coming off as being this badass, which I guess she really is, but it doesn't look fluid, you know. It'll come with time maybe as she maybe competes on a regular basis, but she's definitely rough around the edges.
Before we get into the match, too, I do want to ask you about this, because the talk on the pro wrestling circuit, and again, I'm very naive to it, but the talk on a pro wrestling circuit has been by Jericho, I believe was the only one that I heard, is that Ronda isn't very well liked. And actually, she alluded to it, too, in one of the ESPN interviews, in the car wash interviews, where she may not be the most well-liked person right now on the WWE roster. Have you heard anything about that? What say you about that?
You know, I haven't heard anything specifically about that, but it comes as no surprise to me. Look, wrestling is it's a sport that, you know, you work your way up to the major league, so to speak, right? Just like baseball. You know, you don't just show up and decide, hey, I'm going to be on a Monday Night Raw tonight, you know, in your first match. Wrestlers go years and years and years in the independent circuits, in the developmental leagues now before they may get called up to the big time, you know, WWE. And most of the talent has been wrestling. They've quote unquote paid their dues. They could be second, third generation wrestlers. So for someone like Ronda just to come in with no experience and essentially be given almost a main event spot at the biggest pay-per-view of the year with again, no experience, I could see why someone who's been busting their ass for 10 years just to maybe not even make the WrestleMania card might not like her, you know? There might have been similar feelings perhaps when CM Punk, with very limited or no experience in MMA, debuted on a UFC pay-per-view, right? It's probably the same thing. But yeah, Ronda's definitely getting a lot of attention. She's one of the main event matches for WrestleMania, and she's getting a really big push that probably many feel she doesn't deserve. But unlike these other wrestlers who've had to, you know, work their way to the top, Ronda's got fame. She's a household name, and quite frankly, a lot of these wrestlers, nobody knows them except for the, you know, the real diehard fans until they make it to the big time.
So let's talk about this, because you alluded to WrestleMania being the largest event for WWE. There are basically four main events for the WWE. Is that correct, Mr. G?
Yeah, WrestleMania is a stacked card. There's over 10 matches, a couple title, many, essentially every title's on the line. There's, you can call them co-main events, but there's really four main matches, and Ronda Rousey's match is one of them. She's currently scheduled to perform in a mixed tag team match, which means there'll be two teams, each with a guy and a girl. Ronda's partner is going to be Kurt Angle. He's a retired former pro wrestler and a Olympic gold medalist in wrestling. And they'll be facing the executives of the WWE, both on screen and in real life. Stephanie McMahon, which is the daughter of Vince McMahon, the owner of WWE, and her husband, real-life husband, Triple H, who used to wrestle and is, like I said, now he's one of the executives of WWE. And the way the match is being billed is that they've been wanting to sign Ronda, and this is matches payback for what happened at WrestleMania 31, where Ronda put Stephanie in a submission hold, and she didn't like it. So now they have her signed, and now they could compete against her and get her in the squared circle and hopefully kick her butt. But the reality is Ronda and Kurt are probably going to come up victorious in this match.
Back in my day, obviously Vince used to wrestle quite a bit. Shane McMahon, Vince's son, a pretty good wrestler, right? Professional wrestler. He, as the name of the show, he knew how to take a bump and how to put people over, right? Which is effectively making the other person look good. Does Stephanie McMahon have that capability, and what's Triple H's health nowadays?
Stephanie has the capability to put anybody over, and more than likely she's going to put Ronda over, but historically she's always put herself in a position where she gets the better end of somebody, right? And I think, you know, WrestleMania tends to be the big payoff, so to speak. Like, it's the Super Bowl of wrestling. So these storylines, they usually end at WrestleMania, the night after, new stories develop for the coming months. And we've been building towards this match for the last few years. And I think ultimately, I think Stephanie will lose to Ronda. But I'm sure she'll get, you know, her shots in and make herself look good. And, you know, we don't know if it'll be a clean finish or not. With that said, she's in great physical shape. We don't see her in the ring often. You know, her on-screen role is as an executive, and at times she's a manager of her husband and Triple H and is ringside, but she doesn't generally get too involved other than slapping people around. Triple H is probably one of the fittest wrestlers on the roster, regardless that he's been, you know, unofficially retired for many years. He keeps himself in better shape than a lot of the wrestlers of the current generation.
So, Mr. G, I'm going to table the talk about character development for a second on Ronda. Do want to have you spotlight a few matches on here, because, again, this is the biggest or the biggest event for WWE for the year. And, again, they have several ones. They have the Survivor Series. They have SummerSlam. They have a few of them that are still active, I believe. But this is the granddaddy of them all, as you said. What are the maybe four or five matches or whatever you think that's worth looking into for WrestleMania 34.
So if you're curious about checking out some pro wrestling, if you want to watch a pay-per-view, you know, something, an alternative to UFC or Bellator or MMA, and you're going to check out WrestleMania, it'd be a great pay-per-view to watch. It's going to be a lot of production, a lot of fireworks, more than likely. WrestleManias have evolved to no longer arenas. They're in full-on football stadiums, and this Sunday's WrestleMania is going to be at the New Orleans Superdome, home of the New Orleans Saints. Expected over 70,000 in attendance. It'll be a sellout, so it's going to be a great, great atmosphere. There's over 10 matches. I think there's 13 or 14 at the time of this interview. The ones that I think are going to really be standout matches, one that you'll quote-unquote get your money's worth on, you know, we mentioned his name earlier, Brock Lesnar, who's the current Universal Champion, one of the heavyweight belts of WWE. He's going to put his belt up on the line against Roman Reigns, another heavyweight. It's going to be a slugfest. Both these guys are very physical. I look for this to be just a quick, just a slugfest between these two heavyweights. This is actually a rematch of their WrestleMania 31 match, which happened 2 years ago. You know, this story's been developing for the last 2 years, two, 3 years, specifically over the last 12 months. So this is going to be my pick for WrestleMania. I think it's going to be just a brutal, nice match to watch. Another match to watch, obviously Ronda Rousey. For most of you guys, that'll probably be your biggest interest because you know her, you're going to recognize her. You'll see her, how her in-ring performance in pro wrestling differs from her MMA performance. There's another title bout, other heavyweight championship in WWE, will be two guys that go by the name of AJ Styles and Nakamura. And this is going to be as a contrast to the Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match, it's going to be very technical, very high-flying. It's going to be this quote-unquote strong style of pro wrestling, a lot of kicks, just a lot of kickouts, a lot of action. I think it'll be a great match. It should be pretty entertaining. And there's actually, although not officially on the card, rumor is that there's going to be a quote-unquote legend versus legend match at WrestleMania 34 this Sunday, and that'll be John Cena versus The Undertaker. Now, John Cena's been the top dog in WWE for the last 12, 13, 14 years, and The Undertaker's been one of the top guys in all of wrestling since his debut in 1990. Undertaker's in a retired state now where he no longer performs on a full-time basis. Many believe he actually retired last year at WrestleMania. We haven't seen him in the ring in a physical role since then. The match hasn't officially been announced, but rumor is that The Undertaker will make a surprise return this Sunday to face John Cena in a legend versus legend dream match. So those are my picks for fights to watch. I think it'll be a great card. I believe the whole event's going to run a little over 7 hours between the pre and post shows. But those are the ones you definitely want to keep an eye out for.
One thing that I'm going to ask you selfishly is Charlotte Flair, or she's wrestling someone by the name of Asuka. Give me a little bit of information on Charlotte Flair. We do know that Ric Flair's daughter. Give us a little bit of skinny on Charlotte Flair and Asuka as much as you can.
Yeah, so Charlotte's the current women's champion for the SmackDown brand, and she's putting her title on the line against Asuka in a streak versus title match, essentially. Asuka's never lost a match. For some of you that you might be familiar with the name Bill Goldberg, former football player, former pro wrestler who went on for many years without actually losing a pro wrestling match. Asuka's been the female equivalent of Bill Goldberg. She hasn't lost a match yet, so she's won a title shot, and she's going to be going up against Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair is about as legit of a female wrestler as there is. She's got the size, she's got the athleticism, she's got the moveset. She is the daughter, the real-life daughter of Ric Flair. So she has the prestigious background of, you know, being the daughter of one of the greatest of all time. It should be a great match. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, Charlotte could hand Asuka her first loss, or if the winning streak continues and we have a new champion this Sunday.
I want to ask you a little bit about the character development for Ronda Rousey, because you brought up Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar doesn't have perhaps the biggest personality in WWE or the UFC, but
more
people connect to him. Right, but people do connect with him because he's a huge human being, right? I don't know if he's 6'5 or 6'6, but a rock of, no pun intended, of a human being. So for Ronda Rousey, probably about 5'5, 5'6, not exactly super buff in terms of pro wrestling shape, but even you alluded to in a conversation that we had previously that they're not in the shape that they used to be. But Ronda Rousey, very good in terms of being quick-witted when she's being interviewed, not much of an actress thus far. And again, I don't know how her character development is going to be, but it is my contention, Mr. G, that I thought they should have brought her along, much like you've mentioned Bill Goldberg. I thought they should have brought her along like Goldberg, maybe get her on a streak like that wrestler that you were alluding to. Is it Asuka, Asuka? Maybe something along the lines of that, but instead they have her working the mic, etc. Mr. G, do you think that's a mistake, the fact that they didn't bring her along sort of like a Goldberg, maybe not saying much and just putting people in the armbar?
Well, I just think she's too big of a personality just to do that with. I think it's unrealistic to expect her just to show up to Monday Night Raw or SmackDown on Tuesday night and just have a match without much build, without much storyline going into it. Yeah, I think she could dominate, and I think she could, you know, dish out quite a few losses in a row before taking one herself if she does. But I don't know if she's going to be a full-time wrestler, if she's going to be a part-time wrestler. Brock Lesnar, he only fights a few times a year, and he only makes appearances so many times a year. And he's rarely ever on the mic. He has a manager, Paul Heyman, who does most of the speaking for him. And Ronda might be in a situation similar to that, where she only appears a few times a month or a few times a year and only wrestles on pay-per-views. We don't know what the plan is, but I think they really want to capitalize on the idea that this is what they consider one of their biggest free agent signings in history. And they want to expose that. So that's why we see her with as much airtime as she has, albeit without any physical in-ring time as of yet.
So, Mr. G, speaking of Paul Heyman, notoriously Paul Heyman years ago was on one of either Raw or SmackDown, and we'll talk about the state of the WWE for a sec, but he clearly said that Vince McMahon ruined the professional wrestling business because, of course, there were no competitors any longer. Back in my day, there was ECW, there was WCW, there was the WIF, which we call WWF, WWE now. It's completely changed, right? And moreover, it's no longer even the Raw era or the Attitude era. I forgot what it's called, and you actually can allude to this a little bit more, but it's no longer Vince McMahon's WWE, right? It's now a different thing. Can you talk to us a little bit about the difference between Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, and what the difference between today's wrestling and the wrestling, the pro wrestling of yesteryear, right? During the heyday or during its peak?
Sure, yeah. You know, I grew up in the 80s, 90s watching pro wrestling through, you know, the quote-unquote golden era of wrestling, the Attitude era, where you couldn't go to the mall without seeing every other person wearing a pro wrestling shirt. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw someone outside of the gym wearing a pro wrestling shirt these days. So there was a lot of mainstream appeal back then. You know, just really testy, pushy, you know, storylines, you know, borderline, should this even be on TV at these hours type of content. And now they've shifted things more towards a PG, you know, friendly era where they're really catering more towards the younger audience. But there's guys like myself who, you know, watched 10, 15, 20 years ago and were still somewhat interested. So So there's kind of two main audiences. You have the guys that used to watch that are still around, and you have who they're catering to, and that's the younger audience. But with that, the character development's changed. The storylines aren't nearly as racy as they once were, and I think that's where they lost most of their mainstream appeal. Like you said, there's really one main wrestling company now, and that's WWE. Sure, there's TNA, but they're no real competition of the WWE. Whereas in the 90s, there was WWE, WWF at the time, WCW, ECW. There was all this talent spread among three organizations, and that really pushed all three to try to better themselves every week. There was the ratings war between WWF and WCW, which resulted in, the most popular and probably the best era of modern wrestling. And now when those guys are essentially all on one roster, they're not really, you're not competing with anybody else. As a matter of fact, now pro wrestling doesn't, so even, not that they don't care about the TV ratings anymore, but they're going direct to consumer now with their WWE Network, where you could pay $10 a month and you could stream all former pay-per-views, all old wrestling shows, new content uploaded daily and weekly. You could see thousands of hours of footage for $10 a month. I don't think the WWE necessarily cares like they used to about the ratings on Mondays and Tuesday nights because they aren't what they used to be. So breaking that down, there's Monday Night Raw, which is the flagship show of WWE. That's the 3-hour show on Monday nights. There's SmackDown, which is the not necessarily the B show, but it's not the main show. And what's interesting is there's actually two unique rosters. So WWE has Raw talent and they have SmackDown talent, and they don't switch sides. They just stay on one show and on the other. There's NXT, which is the developmental league of the WWE, which is a pretty new concept. There used to be the territories of wrestling, but now there's actually WWE's invested a lot of money into developing their own talent instead of signing them as free agents. And then there's the cruiserweight division, which they have their own pre-recorded show, which focuses on the light heavyweight, so to speak.
Interesting that you bring up the direct-to-consumer model because I think everyone that's an MMA hardcore wants that sort of direction or feels that the UFC should go in that direction because, of course, pay-per-views are down. The ratings are down in general for MMA, and I think a lot of it has to do with a bloated roster, etc. How do you think pro wrestling has handled it? Because the ratings have been notoriously down. TV ratings are very, very poor. However, you still said, I mean, this WrestleMania 34 will have over 70,000 people in the dome. And I forgot where you said it's going to be. It's going to be at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana. Over 70,000 people, you said roughly. It is a sellout. And you've been to WrestleManias where they have sold out. Any explanation on how they're still selling out these huge events, but the TV ratings are poor and notoriously, I think most house shows, they're not sellouts, right?
Yeah, I think WrestleMania it's evolved. It's not even what it was 10 years ago. I mean, WrestleMania has become just a grand spectacle. I remember watching WrestleMania when they would perform at the Anaheim Pond, when they would perform, at Madison Square Garden, where they held many of the original WrestleManias. You'd be in these 15, 20,000 seat arenas, basketball arenas, hockey arenas. And it's gone beyond that. I mean, now we're every WrestleMania that I could think of in the last few years has been at a football stadium where you have 60, 70, 80, 90. They had over 100,000 at AT&T Stadium in Dallas just a few years ago. It's become a destination trip for many. It's like the Super Bowl. When it's in town, it's not just that one event. there's many things to do, including an award ceremony the night before. They have the Hall of Fame inductions. They have there's an exhibit you could attend where you can meet wrestlers. You can hop in a ring. You can take photos. You could do all these things. It's become more than just a single pay-per-view. And I think WrestleMania's got its own audience. But like you said, you know, the house shows, the Mondays, the Tuesday nights, even the normal pay-per-views, they're not all selling out. And ratings are, I don't know if they're at an all-time low now, but they're much lower than they were during the late 90s. And I think they're really just focusing on the direct-to-consumer model, you know. Who knows if pro wrestling is even going to be on television in a few years. It might all just be direct from the WWE network, where all 100% of the content is only provided through a paid subscription service. There's whispers that with WWE's contract with the USA Network coming up shortly, that perhaps they might jump ship to another network. And coincidentally, it sounds like Fox might be interested in WWE. And if they are, does that mean they're going to drop the UFC programming? Who knows, right? But what I do know is that the WWE invested a lot of money into their network, and I don't think that's going away anytime soon. And in the very near future, that might be the only way to watch WWE programming. And at $10 a month, a couple million subscribers a month, you know, that the numbers do well for them.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because obviously the UFC has had a tough time getting reaching a deal with a new provider. In 2011, they reached the historic deal with Fox. Most of the content in Fox, I believe it's either 70 or 80%, happens to be UFC dominant. So it'll be interesting if they sign the WWE, right? And where that leaves the UFC, because I think the UFC is in a really tough state right now. And the alleged numbers have really fallen quite a bit, actually dramatically. Mr. G, I do want to ask you this. So along the WrestleMania, before we go into Twitter follow of the week, et cetera, and by the way, this is a show that's long been overdue. We've spoken about doing this. We hopefully will continue to do this on a regular basis somehow, some way. But certainly I need you on this, because I'm certainly not a professional wrestling fanatic. I will say this, Mr. G, I have gotten into Lucha Underground, which I do care for, and allegedly that's coming back. I have watched a little bit of New Japan Wrestling. That has, you know, familiar faces there, and that's typically because there's usually an LFA event or et cetera right before it or right after it. So I have tuned into that. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I do want to ask you about this. Back in my day of NWO fan, I did like DX, a lot of great music throughout the years. Yeah, you know, there's been a lot that has been going on. You and I, of course, used to do the Wolfpack hand sig. So as we close the show, Mr. G, Twitter follow of the week for you. What is your WWE or pro wrestling Twitter follow of the week? Let me give you mine. Mine will be Charlotte Flair. We follow her at Miss MS Charlotte WWE. Miss Charlotte WWE. What's yours, Mr. G?
You know, my Twitter follow of the week isn't necessarily someone in the pro wrestling world, but he does talk pro wrestling on his podcast and on his Twitter every now and then. He's been talking a lot about the upcoming Andre the Giant documentary, I believe with ESPN. Or HBO, that's going to be debuting shortly. The great Bill Simmons. That's at Bill Simmons. You know, he talks a lot of sports, specifically the NBA, NFL, throws in some baseball. But he's a fan of professional wrestling. And give his podcast a listen as well, the Ringer podcast, or the Bill Simmons podcast on the Ringer podcast network. Great listen. They dropped some. A little bit of UFC every now and then, a little bit more of wrestling, and just sports in general. That's my Twitter follow of the week, Bill Simmons.
Very, very good. I do want to say this. On Friday, we have a Bellator card, of course, that will be in Turkey. That will be Bendo versus Roger Huerta. On Saturday, we do have UFC 223 straight out of Brooklyn. And that will be headlined, of course, by Max Holloway, now fighting Khabib Nurmagomedov. There's Joanna Jędrzejczyk fighting, of course, Rose Namajunas. That's actually a stack card. On Sunday, WrestleMania 34, Mr. G. So that'll be Ronda Rousey's pro wrestling in-ring debut or professional debut. Is that fair to say, Mr. G?
Yeah, it'll be her official in-ring pro wrestling debut. And very could very likely be Brock Lesnar's final pro wrestling match.
A lot of speculation, Mr. G, that he is coming back to the UFC. Photos with Dana White, you name it, probably going to happen, Mr. G. So we're looking forward to that. Mr. G, as we close the show, thank you for doing this with me. We've talked about doing this for close to 2 years, maybe longer. So it's great to finally do this. Shout out to Junkie Nation. Shout out to those professional wrestling fanatics. I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not an expert of it. That's why I have Mr. G here to save me through this. Mr. G, shout out to you, sir. Thank you for joining me on this journey, and we look forward to having more versions of The Bump. And by the way, The Bump, of course, being a shout out to The Jump and a pro wrestling terminology. Mr. G, we're out of here, Mr. G. And like
DJ
that.
Tony, wait. I'm not going to let you wait. I'm not going to let you off the hook that easy, okay? You know, you keep saying, I don't follow wrestling. Look. Can we remind the audience that you yourself attended a WrestleMania, right? Not just any WrestleMania, a WrestleMania in Las Vegas at Caesar's Palace, one which photographs exist, by the way. You were wearing a toga at that. Admit it. On the air. Do I need a
very, very true.
With your audience?
I actually attended in Las Vegas WrestleMania. Gosh, I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, that was WrestleMania 9 in Las Vegas, Nevada, at Caesar's Palace, 1993, with an attendance of 16,891, you being one of them.
I was a paid attendee, to top it off. I was. At WrestleMania 9.
You know, I got to change the format as well. I know we're going off the format here. We did the Twitter Fall of the Week. You know, we played some of the most popular, you know, wrestling theme songs of all time. Shout out to the Wolfpack, the Red and Black, the NWO. But if you don't mind, you know, let me throw a little wild card in there. Maybe not my favorite wrestling theme of all time. That's yet to be determined because I have quite a few. But I'll throw this one at you. Because I know you'll get a kick out of it. Hit the music. Sexy Kurt.
By the way, that's an incredible... For those that don't know that, Shawn Michaels' old theme song was called Sexy Boy. What was it called?
Sexy Boy.
Sexy Boy. With, of course, the great Sherry. What was her name? Scary Sherry? What was her name? Sherry Montel? Sherry...
Martel, yeah. Sherry Martel.
Martel. Sherry Martel. Famously, Kurt Angle has a version of that, which is hilarious, called Sexy Kurt, I'll Make Your Ankles Hurt. That's worth watching. We'll drop that in this podcast at the very end. Mr. G, very, very good knowledge on your part. Mr. G, shall we close the door?
Let's do it, Tony. Thanks for having me. I look forward to another edition of The Bump. Maybe we'll do a wrap-up of WrestleMania, see how Ronda's debut went. Let's see how Lesnar's fight goes. Does he retain the title? Does he drop it? Is he in the UFC in 6 months? We'll find out shortly. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I think he will. My pleasure, Mr. G. Let's get out of here. I like that.
not surprised, motherfuckers.
TJ, who's your mama?
Who the fuck is that guy?